listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, October 15th. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. As always, I'm glad to be here and I'm glad to be back after a week off.
Well, you were missed and I have missed being here with all of you and can't wait to get into it tonight. And just want to throw a shout out to those that have joined us live in the chat. We always appreciate seeing you, appreciate your contributions, and we always appreciate those that take the time to catch up with us from the archives as well. We get your emails, we appreciate your feedback too, and we love that you take the time out of your week to listen. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Tonight, we're having a very interesting talk. We're going to be speaking about synchronicity. What is synchronicity? And a little bit of a twist on that, too. So, Dr. Vicki, where do you want to start? There's a lot of places to go.
Well, there is, but let's, and I know Dr. Mike has already said it in the chat. The phrase synchronicity was coined by Carl Jung, who was a psychologist way back when. And it's kind of the experience of two or more events that are causally unrelated yet seem meaningfully connected. So a meaningful coincidence, the core of synchronicity, is that events occur together in a way that feels significant to the observer, even if there's no logical cause and effect between them. Internal and external alignment. A synchronistic event often occurs when an external event mirrors an internal psychological one. Then there's psychological and spiritual interpretations. And then there's, you know, a lot of people, are skeptical about synchronicity. But, you know, some things, like if you see the same repeating numbers through a day, that can also be psychological. You know, you're plugged in.
Right.
Thinking about somebody you haven't talked to in years and then they call or message you. Or if you, let's say, come across a word in multiple places, or, you know, it's like when I was pregnant, I noticed every pregnant woman in the world, you know, kind of thing. Or, yeah, you know, you just got a new black car and you notice every black car. It can seem synchronistic. It's just how we read into that. I like to take certain things in other places because, of course, I believe in telepathy too, and we believe in consciousness. If I was just thinking about somebody and the phone rings, that could be a telepathic connection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is that a synchronistic kind of connection? Yeah, I guess you could say that, you know, but I can give all kinds of alternate possibilities to experiences. Right. But I'll tell you, this is where I'm going to come in with my own testimonial, Michael, if that's all right. Because
did we lose you?
No, I had to cough. Yeah, sinus drip.
Ooh.
Yeah, I just got back from my trip. I got a little sinus drip here. Sorry about that, guys. As I alluded to a couple of weeks ago, I went to Edmonton, Alberta, where I was, you know, basically from, to visit and connect with not only a lot of friends and people, but specifically to reconnect with my nephew,
mm-hmm.
who I have not seen since he was 7. And he'll be 43 this month. Also, to meet a half-sister I never knew about until about 3 years ago, and she will be 41 this month. Now, we all share the same birthday.
Mm. I remember that. That's crazy.
And furthermore, my sister and I share the same middle name. So, it was wonderful, by the way. A wonderful experience to meet them. But this is where synchronicity, maybe, or parallel lives, or something gets really weird, even for me, Michael.
Mm. Yeah.
This is the weird part of the story. I've got two parts of the weird stories. Wayne, my nephew, was raised by an alcoholic mother. I didn't realize that. Abusive stepfather. He left home and dropped out of school at grade 8. And, of course, lived on the streets, gangster style, for a long time. Michelle, my sister, her mother was also an alcoholic. Michelle ended up in foster care, also dropped out of school, grade 8. Okay, did we catch that, you guys? They both dropped out of school, grade 8.
Without any impact on, they hadn't been in each other's lives at that point. It was purely coincidental?
No, they'd never met.
Right.
However, they have mutual friends, we've discovered. Both on the inner city. She, on the other hand, went back to school when she was 20. She also had a child in her 20s. And he, on the other hand, you know, he looked after his grandmother, very close to her. And he got straight, clean, no drugs, alcohol, a number of years ago. So she runs a family counseling clinic with 38 staff. She's done really well for herself. She even has gone on to get a master's in leadership on her own. Single mom raising a child.
Wow.
He, on the other hand, he has one child just in the last year or so. But he's not with the mom. So there's a, you know, this not so much of a coincidence between them.
Mm.
Each of Wayne and Michelle are an only child. Now, Michelle does have and knew of another half-brother raised by his dad, not with the mom. So they're each an only child feeling, you know, alone in the world. But here's where it gets really more interesting. Both of them, at almost the same time, unbeknownst to each other, please know that, reconciled with their mothers, who both got sober.
Hmm.
Both of them, at this moment, are recovering from really severe cancer.
Oh, wow.
One had pancreatic cancer, the other had colon cancer. Michelle's mom is in care, but they're both recovering. And both of them said the same thing to me. I've forgiven my mom, and I'm all she's got.
Mm.
Now, they don't know each other.
Yeah.
This is like, I'm thinking, are we kidding here? These two young people, like, first of all, had I known had I known about her and known about his life, I would have taken them in a heartbeat.
Well, of course.
When they were young. And I made sure they both knew that. Nonetheless, to fast forward, they're both doing really well. But to think of this parallel life that they have been living, and remember, we all have the same birthday. So, well, the addendum to this, as you all know, I have one son. We've been estranged for quite a number of years, only because he went evangelical and, you know, the born again doesn't like me. That's fine. He did that when he was 14 to 15. That's when it started. Well, very recently, Michelle's only son is 14, almost 15, sleeps with a Bible next to his bed. And she's slowly losing him to religion. And she had tears in her eyes to me and said, I don't know. I said, I know you can give me drugs and alcohol any day. She goes, I know I could deal with that, but I can't handle this. I said, I went through the same thing.
Yeah.
So I see what's going on here. I can't, you know, I mean, I'm here if she needs me, but this is their process to go through. But I think now, how weird is that? That I meet this young woman. She's absolutely lovely. Very bright, very intelligent. Has one son who's turning against her because he drank the Kool-Aid in religion.
Right.
And becoming very judgmental about her. And I am going to say, because I know she'll never listen to this show, is she's also bisexual. She was in a lesbian relationship for 10 years. Her son will not go to the therapist because, oh, I think he's gay. I'm not going.
Oof.
So he's turning on her. And of course, how hurtful that is. She's now, you know, dating a fellow. Happy enough. She's content. But it's how now my nephew Wayne, anti-religion, anti-establishment. I love that. And neither of them are really religious. Neither of them are, you know, they're both on the left, you know, or on the center. And good, we have a lot in common. And of course, this birthday, you know, in a week and a half, I'm going to be 70, and they're 43 and 41. Well, I've got kids older than that. But it's just this odd, would Carl Jung call that synchronicity? I don't know. But I find the whole thing fascinating that there are these parallel realities, parallel
right.
lives, and it's synchronistic that I would go there because I had been looking for my nephew for many, many years. But in pre-arranging, I got to meet both of them on the same weekend. So it all lined up, like everything lined up in the universe. And a couple of people said, oh, this is fortuitous. Well, I don't know how fortuitous it is, but it certainly seemed like a matrix connection to me.
Right.
So, but it's not that, doesn't that just blow your mind in a way?
It does. It does. And, you know, I don't know. It's definitely synchronicity adjacent. I mean, it's part of that, the magic of existence where we live in a chaotic world, but yet we see connections that, you know, what are the odds that the odds be against them? And they're often so meaningful. You know, what does that represent? We had talked a bit earlier about, you know, that kind of psychic connection,
mm-hmm.
I think, which is akin to a, what's the word I want? A shared consciousness.
Yes.
Like a human consciousness. We're all kind of plugged into a network of greater human consciousness. You think about a friend, they call you. You think about something, you see it. Obviously, for some of these, you know, it can be just cognitive tricks of the mind. You know, we've learned to look for patterns over countless millennia. So, you know, you buy a new car, you see that car everywhere, right? You learn something, you start seeing that everywhere, right? Because now it's you're picking up on it. I watched Halloween for the first time the other night, and it could be because my phone's listening to me, so that's a legit option. But everything I'm seeing is about Halloween and different jokes about the movie Halloween and different guys talking about the movie Halloween. And I know it's in October, so we're approaching Halloween, and it's a famous scary movie. But still, it's like after I watch that movie, everything I see is about that movie. But I think, you know, if we're going to talk about synchronicity, too, and that kind of, it's not really a parallel life thing, my own example would be, one moment, I have to cough. Excuse me. My own example would be my fiance is my neighbor who lives four houses down. We've been neighbors for 4 years, over 4 years now, and we've only been dating 6 months. And it just it's so funny how everything kind of clicked at the time, you know. When I first met her, I was actually in a different relationship. Then after that relationship ended, I happened to run into her when I was going out for work to a client's office, and we were doing that 401k thing there, and there she was, and we, you know, like, hey, what are you doing here, that kind of thing. We ran into each other again, and then I would run into her more and more walking my dogs, and we'd hang out with her and her son, and it grew from there. But, you know, what are the odds, and what are the odds it would happen then, and why then, and, you know, why not 4 years earlier or something like that? You know, what's the... But it was the timing of everything. Everything just kind of hit. She helped me find my dog, you know, and then we ran into each other in a completely unexpected place. Shortly thereafter, you know, and it just, you know, there were other things in there too. I'd seen her before that too. It's just a chain of events that led up to this thing that the way it happened seems almost, you know, impossible. That we're neighbors, we kind of work in the same general fields. We even know a couple of the same people. It's one of my favorite examples. But thinking of that, I'm going to throw my another weird thing in here. Growing up, one of my good friends had another friend who was like a friendly acquaintance to me. But this guy who was older, but, you know, my buddy had kind of had known him since he was... My buddy's older than me. This friend's older than him by a few years. So he's like a good decade or plus older than me, right? Probably 20 years older than me. But, you know, he'd been a friend of my other buddy for a long time since they were, you know, younger, and they'd done a bunch of stuff together and all that. Well, I thought, all right, he's friendly enough. I never really cared for him that much, but whatever. Then, you know, I'm in my job here. I work as an office manager. I have a client who's a lovely old lady, and I talk to her on the phone, and I do this, and we have a attorney that we work with, and he's a nice guy. I talk to him all the time. We work with him all the time. And then I get this buddy who I meet through my roommate, Trevor. And we become close. He becomes a good friend of mine. And we're about a year into this friendship, and everybody's over at our house at the time, and we're just having the guys over and hanging out. And my new buddy, Chris, he comes over, and he had just got done cleaning his uncle's office, and he slaps down a pen on our kitchen table. And on the side of that pen is the name of the attorney's office I work with all the time. I'm like, hey, how do you know that? He's like, oh, he's my uncle. He's actually kind of like really like my dad. He kind of raised me. I'm like, no kidding. He's like, yeah. And then that attorney, that the old woman is that attorney's mother. So I'm like, that means that's your grandmother. He's like, yeah. I'm like, that's crazy, you know. And then, all right, that was interesting. On and on and on. Maybe another few months passes. We're having another get together. Excuse me. He is talking about rather a sad story about how he was estranged from his father, and then he says his father's name, and I just stop. I'm like, say his name again? He says it, and it's my other friend's older buddy that I'd known for like a decade. I knew everybody in this guy's life before I met him, and he's not one of my best friends.
Yeah, I mean, that's... And... I don't know. I think there's other terms for it, but, you know, what are we, 6 or 7 degrees of separation or something? I don't know. And how our realities overlap. My friend Susan, who lives here in Vernon, I've known her since high school. And I ran into her over the years. And her husband had been living out here for, I don't know, they moved away from Edmonton a long time ago. 6 degrees of separation. Thanks, Dr. Mike. But I moved here And within 2 weeks, I had run into her three times. And I said, Susan, we're supposed to be friends. But I don't know. It's like when you keep running into somebody, or there's an overlap in some ways. You know, other people you never see again, and then you know who, and all the people we have mutual friends with, and the same with Wayne and Michelle, the people that they both know, but they had never met. It's very odd. You know, just those oddities in life. I think it's all the mystery. You know, I have to go back to something Dr. Mike has said in the chat. It's more like the Paul Young conjecture. And okay, you know, this is where I have to go do a little research, Michael. It's a double aspect theory. I'm just going to go over this neutral monism. And the dual aspect theory share a central claim. There's an underlying reality that's neither mental nor physical, but that's where the agreement stops. Neuromonism has no room for central feature. Well, this is getting kind of heady for me, but it basically talks about domains of reality. So if anybody's interested in that, you should certainly go and look that up. But there was a collaboration between Wolfgang Pauli and Carl Jung, somewhere around, started around 1946. And they started, you know, speculating on this double aspect perspective within the disciplines between them. And Pauli additionally drew, I'm taking this now from Wikipedia to give proper credit, drew on various elements of quantum theory, such as complementarity, non-locality, and the observer effect in his contribution. So this is a really fascinating study. You know, and then get into quantum entanglement and, you know, all the correlations of where we are. So going back to what is synchronicity, you know, I mean, I guess we'd have to really try to double down and say, well, what is synchronicity? Like, what is it? And because there's so many possible ways to look at all these odd experiences that we have. I'm gobsmacked sometimes. I mean, back in the old, when I was 16 years old, I'd gone to this reader I told you before, Magda, for a reading. Years later, I had done a reading for somebody who'd just been to her, and the readings were about the same. She told Magda. Magda ordered me to go visit her. You know, like, what are the odds of that? And then the who knows who took me to Victoria to study under Frank Appleyard in hypnosis. And, you know, it's like there's sometimes in life we're pulled in a way. Like, that's what I call our true path. And the people that we meet, and then realizing we may have encountered those people before or cross paths. And I'm gobsmacked all the time by that. And because I don't think we'll ever understand it, Michael. You know,
Well, you know, it's, I agree, and I think it's because we don't have that level of awareness as a species to see beyond the veil, right? We commonly, you know, it's maybe some can, but it is, I think it's something that will eventually come to more people. I think it's like, you know, for the vast majority of human existence, people weren't literate. They didn't have a written language, and even when they did, most people couldn't read and write it. Now everybody can. You know, now we can see some things that we couldn't before. We can peer into thoughts and minds like we couldn't before. I'd like to think that maybe we will get to a point where we have the awareness of existence and the deeper layers of existence that we can kind of see how these things fit together, what synchronicity is, things like that. 'Cause that right now, you know, it is conjecture in a lot of ways because we don't, it is a almost an undefinable thing. And it's also, what's the word I'm looking for? Not just undefinable, it's where you cannot disprove it. you know, unverifiable, what have you.
Yeah.
Regardless, one thing I also, we haven't touched on quantum entanglement yet tonight, have we?
On the which?
On quantum entanglement.
Well, and that, no, we've talked about it in past programs,
right.
But it's like when two energies, you know, no matter how far apart, remain connected.
Right.
That my question is, do those two particles know that they're connected in the first place? And how are we connected to other particles? We don't know.
Right.
Because, and this, that begs a whole other kind of observation. Because you know people who know people. How are you all connected in the first place? Like, what particles, you know, what parts of our consciousness were already connected, but we weren't aware?
Right.
I mean, that's possible, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, even Dr. Mike is asking, though, too, synchronicity, how does synchronicity differ from deja vu, fate, or probability?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a good question.
Semantics.
You know, deja vu is, that's a very tricky thing. The indigenous elders I knew said the more deja vus you have, the more you're on your true path.
Yeah.
When all your multiple selves and multiple realities are in sync. I don't know. Fate, I don't know. I think in the chaotic world we're living in, I think in some ways I'm a little bit fatalistic. In that we're kind of destined to do certain things or be in certain places, even if it's unconscious.
Right.
Or probabilities. Sure, we can play in the land of probabilities for a long time.
Right.
But, you know, here's an example. My two daughters had gone to Arizona on a getaway. Again, many years ago, my eldest had just had a baby, you know, a few months old. She's going to go away for 2-3 days. My other daughter, second daughter, was living in Montreal, in down east of Canada, working. And so they met up in Arizona. Now, my second daughter never, and I'm telling you, Michael, never drives highways that she's unfamiliar with. If she doesn't know where she's going, she doesn't go. So,
yeah.
But anyway, my oldest is coming back. My second daughter said something came over her. She had to rent a car and drive this 2-hour drive to Sedona by herself. Now, if you knew my second daughter, you'd know how bizarre that is.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes there and, you know, she's wandering around, looking up the vortexes, goes on this pink Jeep tour, and meets a bunch of people. Well, she met a guy. And the guy works from home, he's whatever. She said, that's nice. They did go out with another friend, friend that they met, went for dinner, and he said, I'm going to call you. She goes, yeah, sure. And so she goes back to Montreal. He said, no, I'm serious. So he moved to the stateside, close to where she was, so they could start dating. And that's her now husband.
Hmm.
I mean, it's like she had this calling.
Right.
To go meet him and be there at a particular time. He was living in a neighboring town from Sedona, only because he had just moved there and had this feeling to go. So it's like, how does that work? He had a feeling. He had been living in Baltimore and Chicago. He suddenly had this feeling to go move to Arizona. I mean, and she had this feeling to go to Arizona and rent a car and drive a highway she'd never been on. And then they meet. So I think that's a really spiritual experience myself. Like, that's the universe set something up. You just have to listen.
Hmm. I have to agree with you on that. And I'll be darned if there aren't times where I've kicked myself because I felt like I did not listen to the universe. And in fact, I knew what the universe wanted and I went the other direction because I don't know why.
So could that be, could we consider, you know, their listening and joining up as a fatalistic moment? You know, it was fate. So we can use that word. Was it fate that they met?
Right.
They've been together 17 years now, more than 17 years.
Yeah.
So that's wild.
It very much is. Absolutely is. Yeah. It is strange, and life is full of many, many paradoxes because there are things that shouldn't coexist that do. Life is chaos. Life is absolute chaos. It's, you know, things happening, and, you know, in an infinite universe, you have a bell curve of probability of things happening, this, that, and the other, and it's chaos, and it just plays out. But at the same time, it's not. We have connections.
I know.
We see order in that chaos. And I hope I get to a point in my evolution of awareness where I can better see it and better grasp it. It's fascinating.
Well, and that's just it. Everything does seem like chaos. And, of course, we've got 8 billion people on the planet and whatever. But there is something else going on. I think it's always been going on. But, you know, Teresa made a comment that, you know, hidden belief systems often prevent us from following intuition. Mm. Or, and that's a really good comment, Teresa. A lot of times we're so occupied with what we're doing, we don't give attention to,
right.
Oh, you know, a lot of people would say, oh, you know, you saw your nephew and your sister, isn't that nice? I'd say, yeah, but there's a story, and they shrug it off, say, yeah, so. You know,
right.
They don't get it.
I know.
So, well, it's just interesting. Yeah.
Well, it's indicative.
I think it's fascinating.
Yeah.
I think it's fascinating when we end up in a place when something out of the ordinary happens that we need to know or have to know. Or it's
right.
Like the day I woke up, a voice in my head said, Metaphysics Institute. Like, where did that come from, Michael? Metaphysics Institute. I get on the net. And there you are. You know?
Right.
Where did that come from? In the superconscious, consciousness, spirits. I don't know. Pick one. It doesn't matter to me what you think. But it just lends to something else is going on that we can't deny.
Right. We can all feel it. You know, we know it's there. It's just out of the, you know, out of, on the periphery, you know, just out of our reach and, well, mine anyway, in terms of comprehension and grasping it. It's there. But, you know, it is going to be a lifelong endeavor to try and understand this world that we live in a little bit better. And I think this is a huge part of that. How are we connected? How are things tied together? You know, so... Yep.
Absolutely. You know, before we start picking cards, which it's nearly that time again, I'll add in here, I was staying with my friend Shelley.
Mm-hmm.
We go back to the early 90s. Shelley does not read cards for anybody else or do readings for other people. It's a pretty rare thing because she doesn't like that. But when her and I sit down, we'll read cards together. She has her deck, I have my deck. And we ask questions that are, like, usually political in nature or social in nature. What's going on? It's not for ourselves. It's, like, for the bigger picture and what's going on in the world. Inevitably, we have a good percentage of the same cards that end up on the table. Oh, look. I've got the Ace of Spades, so do you have the Ace of Spades. Oh, look, I've got the Death card, so do you, you know? And we go, wow, like, what are the odds? 78
right.
cards in a deck. There was one layout that we did. We both had the same outcome card. And the mathematical possibilities to that.
Right.
And this is why we love to do that, because it's It fascinates us because I don't understand it, neither does she. But when we're doing it, of course, we're doing our reading, and it's like, wow. So anyway, I just had to throw that in. You know, what kind of energy or quantum entanglement or something is that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we've been talking about. Perfect addition. And again, just adds to the mystery, you know, what is that force that we all feel? We all kind of know it's there to varying degrees, I think some of us, but it's there. But I want to know.
All right.
I want to know, and I don't know if I will before I move on to the next plane. But maybe
nice
I'll know on the
mystery.
Next plane.
Yeah. All right. You know, we have the Inner Oracle Self-Discovery cards from Dr. Douglas Kelly. And I'm going to do a backup tarot card and see if we can, you know, shed some light. Shall we do that, Michael?
I think
we have Audra first.
Which is a rarity, but Audra, you're coming in hot today. So you get number 36, gratitude. Gratitude is the joy one feels in the heart when the mind awakens to the gifts of life. No matter how seemingly small or insignificant, the truest essence of love lives within the feeling of gratitude, desiring a connection with all life, while giving freely without want for return. Gratitude is benevolence that wants to give forward. Take a compliment with graciousness and good manners when gratitude is extended.
This is when you have the Two of Pentacles or the Two of Diamonds here, that's a good manner of balance. But I also want to go into perhaps the workplace. In this regard, Audra, you know, where people are grateful for you, you're grateful for them, and I want to add to that intuitively, weeding out those who are not. You know, it's really being able to show up for people, and they're showing up for you. And I'm going to say building a team, and it's a good balance. So I think that I think you're already on it. I think you've got a good thing going. You know, there's always little blips along the way, Michael, you know, with people and stuff. And, you know, she says she's grateful. She's in the chat there. I'm grateful for everyone here and not here tonight. So are we. So there
that.
We go.
Yeah. Audra, you're good people. I love that you went there, and I absolutely agree with you.
We have Aaliyah next.
All right. For you, I have number 26, energy signature. This card is a call to be aware of energy signatures, which is the vibe a person puts out or the energy of a situation. Energy signatures are changed by increased awareness resulting from gaining more knowledge and wisdom of self. Review the present energy signature that you may be sending or that of a situation, individual, or relationship. Keep what is healthy, remove what is unhealthy. Remember, you cannot change others. You can only change yourself and your own energy.
Well, I love that you got the Six of Hearts and the Six of Cups as a backup to that, Aaliyah. Really aligning yourself with people who resonate to the same energy as you and knowing who not to give your energy to. So it's kind of weeding out the negative and really building and securing that central types of relationships for yourself. You know, it doesn't have to be blood family. It can be an extended family. So that energy signature, and I think that's why I get this feeling comfortable, even if it's a small circle. Everybody needs, you know, a friend or other. She said that resonates. She's weeding out energy drains in this season. I totally get it. But this is good. You're really connecting with positive energy and energy that aligns with you. So that's an affirmation to you. You're on the right track. So
I like it.
Jack.
You got it. Absolutely. And one of my favorite cards. No, it is my favorite card. You get wild card number one, Paradox.
Ooh.
A truth can be found in seemingly contradictory ideas. What may seem like a false proposition can be a set of new ideas and ways of thinking. Your solution may lay in the opposite direction than you think. Keep in mind that the cosmos works in equals and opposites. Not all truths lay in common opinions. This may be a time for contrarian thinking and opening your mind to what may not make sense at first. Thus, new perspectives are discovered.
The Five of Clubs. That's a Five of Wands. I always see the Five as, you know, it's kind of the center between one and nine. And in this case, with the clubs of changes, working with changes, things you don't want to change, but they're actually really good for you.
Right.
And then the things you want to change, but they won't change. You know, so it's kind of aligning new kinds of energies in your life, Jackie. I would say right now, roll with it. And be a good observer of how your frequencies are shifting and how the frequencies of people around you are shifting. And, you know, I've seen a lot of people one-on-one in this last, you know, couple of weeks. And I'm amazed at even the people we think we know really well, their energy and mentalities are changing. Like, we're all impacted by outer sources at times. We're all responding differently. And some of it's not always likable or flattering, let's say. Sometimes I think people are skipping a beat. Like, instead of doing ABCs, they're going ACFG, you know? And so I think that what you're doing here is, you know, kind of watching life change in a way, Jackie. So I want to say roll with it. Just roll with it.
I like it.
Okay. Then we have Jeff next.
I think we have Teresa next, unless I made a mistake. Do you have Teresa on your list there?
Sorry? Say again?
I think we have Teresa next.
Oh,
did you see her on your list there?
I did not, but I'm going to do that right now. Okay,
All right.
Teresa, so, sorry.
You get number 34, Teresa. Take and release ownership. Ownership and entitlement are not the same. Ownership is taking responsibility with a healthy attitude. Entitlement is expecting more than what is earned. Further, codependence is taking an unhealthy ownership for other people's feelings and problems. This may be a time to reflect on owning only what is yours and releasing the rest.
Well, I like this Wheel of Fortune. A really good chance, time for you to take a chance, step out of your comfort zone, Teresa. Taking and releasing ownership. If you've had questions or, let's say, some self-doubt, I'm saying just put them to the side and take a risk. And I don't mean fall off a cliff. I mean, just, you know, step out of your comfort zone, because I think that you got some really, I don't know, I got a good feeling you have some new things coming up. So, you know, say you really want to entertain the ideas and maybe challenge yourself a little bit. So I think that's great.
I like it.
I do too.
All right. Now, I think we just have Dr. Jeff as our only card left, unless I miss somebody. But I think
Kevin.
There we are.
See, all right. I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Well, Dr. Jeff, first off, for you, another 30s. I have a number 32, sympathy and empathy. Mercy is compassion in action and fulfills a kind act of paying it forward. Sympathy, which is sensitivity for another's plight, and empathy, which is relating to another's plight, each requires a need, compassion, and action to fulfill a soul's need to explore, investigate, and educate. Always extend the benefit of the doubt until there is no longer a reason to do so.
Now, 8 and 9 of clubs. I have to think about this one in relation to sympathy, empathy. You might be feeling a little resistance, Jeff, but I think what this is asking of you is to sit and do a quiet meditation, tap into some undiscovered strength I want to say, or untapped determination. And then it goes, then I mean, you're in a rapid fire. I think it's a way deep internal challenge. So sympathy, empathy, sometimes sympathy is paralyzing. Empathy has movement. And when I get that 8 and 9 of clubs, you know, 8 and 9 of wands, I think kind of it's reinforcing what I want to say to you. You know, let me say this, Michael, as you know, we're all on a path of self-discovery, mm-hmm. all of us. And every day that I breathe, I learn something else. I learn something about myself. I learn something about people and life. Life is this ever-changing place. And I think this is a moment, Jeff, where you're tapping into something. So I'm going to say once that door opens, you're a force to be reckoned with. That's what I say. So, I mean, I hope that makes sense at some level. I don't like to feel like I'm trespassing sometimes, especially on air. But yeah, and we have Kevin. Now, Kevin mentioned something about him and someone else, but I didn't see another name.
Let's scroll up. For himself and another listener. Do you want to just pull one for Kevin and then do a mystery guest card?
Mystery guest, I guess. Sure.
All right, let's do it. Well, Kevin, for you, excuse me, I have number 10, the indomitable power of the human spirit. The human spirit is unequaled in power. Nothing can defeat it. Within your creative ability, you are a powerhouse of energy that can be channeled into any endeavor. Given time, there is nothing out of reach for you. Claim your power and live up to your human potential. Apply your powerful spirit to overcoming whatever obstacles stand in your way. Good card.
It is a good card, and you got the 4 of Pentacles, the 4 of Diamonds to boot. Not, what I want to, in the power of the human spirit, and you're tapping into that, Kevin, and your determination, your fortitude, and this desire to continue learning and your patience in life is this, be a little bit selfish with protecting yourself. I want to say protecting from negativity, but, you know, I think all of us in some way need to stand firm. And I think that's what I want to say to you is staying firm in what you believe and what you know to be true, but also being flexible in the world. You know, what's your business? What's not your business? What affects you? What doesn't affect you? You be you, I'll be me kind of thing. And so I'm thinking here is you've got the will, you've got the determination. And you need to hang on to that. Just keep going. Don't let anything or anyone deter you or, you know, try to make you waver in what you know to be true for you. And perseverance. I keep coming back to that word, perseverance. So I hope that makes sense, Kevin. I think it's a really powerful affirmation myself. I do.
I like it.
So we have some mystery guest out there.
All right. And for our other listener, I got one from the 30s again. I think that's probably a majority of our cards tonight. This time, number 37, groundedness. So hope this connects. Remain grounded by looking for evidence that supports or refutes claims or beliefs. Have a compelling and defensible basis for your beliefs, especially esoteric beliefs. An absence or denial of evidence does not assure a truthful conclusion. Be willing to examine beliefs, assumptions, and opinions and weigh them against facts. Suspend judgment until you have considered all of the facts or have more facts to uncover. Adjust opinions when new facts are found.
Well, Mr. Guest, I have the Chariot. And it's a reminder that you're the manager of the forces. It's all in hand. So the Chariot, basically think of a guy who's actually in it, driving a chariot, who has the negative and positive and moving forward. There's a good balance there. So when you have that groundedness and you're moving forward, You're the manager. I don't want to use the word control here because it's so fixed. It's a firm and fixed kind of word. You're the manager. You're directing where things are going. So it is in your hands which direction you'd like to go, where you want to take things. And I feel like you're being given some alternatives or, different variables of where you want to go. Well, if you sit and you're really grounded in your thinking and grounded in your feelings and you sensibly move forward, you can't lose. I want to say I feel really good about it. You got this. So I hope that makes sense.
All right.
All right.
I think that's all of our cards for tonight.
I think so.
Well,
I think we got that.
I think we got it. And it is that time of the evening, so I think it's about time to bring it to a close. But this has been a really good conversation, and I love talking about these little quirks. And, here's something I want to throw at you. Dr. Mike could put this in chat. He suggested we talk about our favorite theories on how the universe came to exist. So, what do you think?
Well, it was 7 days, wasn't it?
That's not on my list. You can bring that one on your list. That's not on my list.
Isn't that how it happened? Like, I don't know. I had my grade 7 science teacher. I remember this clearly. His name was Mr. Frankish. And he was teaching Darwin's theory.
Yeah.
And so, of course, I'm saying, well, how does that compare to what the Bible says? Yeah, you got to remember what year that was in, Michael.
Yeah.
And he was furious. He was bald, he had really red face, and he started yelling. And you know when people start frothing from the mouth? Like he had saliva dripping on both sides. And like one of those white gummies off of the middle of his mouth. I'll never forget that. And I just was totally impressed with myself because I irritated him. thanks for the comments, everybody, and your feedback. And Kevin is saying he's glad we're back. He looks forward to the program and gets a lot of positive energy for the chat and the cards. And he is impressed with both the readings for him and his Mr. Guest. So I'm glad about that. So he said, the word manager is unique to this situation. Well, I hope it fits well. So, I'm glad to be back, although I must say, I did miss you last Wednesday. I even thought about it. I said, no, I'm chilling. I graded a paper last week. That's as much as I had my laptop for. And it felt kind of good to be on another planet for a minute.
Well, you got to have a change of pace and get away. And yeah, so it was wonderful that you were able to, connect with family and have that wonderful moment with people you hadn't really met before. So, come on, that's a good reason.
It's so interesting to me that as soon as we saw each other, there was a big hug that wouldn't stop and tears. Uh-oh. It's like we fit. And there's no age difference in that. We just fit.
Right.
We had a really good visit for a few hours. And then, of course, life and stuff. And she's a soccer mom and she has to work and stuff like that. But we'll talk in the future. And again, when I left, it was a good fit. And I'm very glad to have seen her. And, me and my friends, we all remind ourselves that, like the friend I visited, one of the friends, she's 80, and we may never see each other again. And that's what I'd like to remind everybody about tonight. When you're connecting with people, know that every moment should be valued.
Absolutely.
You never know when you'll never see them again. You'll never know when if you'll ever get a chance to revisit that moment. So value all those good things and good people that you have in your life. And gratitude is a great word for tonight. And, Michael, there's so much stuff going on out there that Visiting with my friend Shelley, she said, I am so grateful to have a job. I have a roof over my head. I have food. I can put gas in my car.
Yeah.
Now, we're not wealthy by any stretch. But she said, so many people don't have that. And just be in the moment of that gratitude and send that out to others. You know, that positive vibe. Stand firm in who you are and what you believe. And share your love if you can't share anything else.
Well, that is.
And don't let them push you around out there.
Well, that is just beautifully said. So, that's what better way to go out. So, thank you very much for sharing that. Thank you very much for being here. We did miss you, and can't wait to see everybody next week. We're going to talk about, obviously, the definitive final answer about how the universe came to be. So, you know, don't want to oversell it, but it should be good fun. But yeah, no, it's been a great great broadcast. So happy to have you back. And until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.